In the Gospel of Matthew. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that he was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned in betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since they are blood money." So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore the field has been called the field of blood to this day. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now there's an old Greek myth that's told about the Fates. Three sisters whose job it is to measure out the length of a man's life. They weave together the strands that make that life, and they decide where that life is to be cut off at. And when that lifeline is severed, the man's days are no more. According to the stories, this is the time that you have been given, and there's nothing that you can do about it. With such finite bounds, you make of it what you can. In the text that I chose for this evening, we find Judas at the end of his rope. One of the 12 apostles, Judas had been following Jesus for the bulk of his 3-year public ministry. He is often identified as Judas Iscariot, either as a nod to his hometown of Kerioth, Ishakarioth would be man of Kerith, or just to distinguish him from the other apostle, Judas, the son of James. Now, he was in charge of the little contingent's coin purse, and doesn't say much in the Gospels, but the little glimpses that we get are enough to let us know that there was something wrong with his heart well before his most infamous work of betraying Jesus at Gethsemane. But that's how sin usually works. We can keep it under wraps for a time, but no sin remains hidden forever. It peeks out, it discolors, it stains. If we're fortunate, someone will call us on our sin before it grows too large, and if we're brave, we'll listen to them. As an apostle, he sat through almost every sermon, every story, every challenge and conversation that Jesus had, but he never internalized it to the point of figuring out how he should live differently. At some point, you know that you are choosing sin, but you harden your heart so that you can choose it anyway. That's where Judas was. Remember, he didn't get tricked into telling the chief priests where they could find Jesus and arrest him. He didn't let it slip out while he was getting a drink of water. He went to them and asked for money for the purpose of betraying him, and then led the way himself. But I say that's where Judas was because our text shows him in a different spot. Here at the start of Matthew 27, Judas knows that he has screwed up big time, and he wants to try to make it right. He wants to give the money back. But that's not an option either. The second important lesson about sin for tonight, that there are no take-backs. We can repent. Verse 3 says that Judas did. We can try to make amends, but we can't ever make it like it didn't happen. And there's nothing that we can do about that. Judas betrayed Jesus. He sinned against him. He took the rope of his life, made a noose with it, and hung himself. We too have a finite time in this world. The scriptures tell us that God made Adam from the dust of the earth and breathed into him. And we know that when we die, when our line is ended, that our bodies too will decay and return to that same dust. But the hope that we have in Jesus Christ is that life doesn't end when these bodies give out. We hold to the promise of new, unperishing physical bodies that are ours in the life to come if we trust Jesus with all that we are and believe him capable of dealing with all that we do. Judas helped kill the very embodiment of that hope all those years ago. He never really understood what that hope was about. And so when he fully saw what his betrayal had done, he had no hope left to hold to. He sold out his hope for the sake of sin. The Lent is a season of penitence. It's a time for us to take a hard look at the sin in our lives and the ways that we are betraying the hope that we have. And we take time now before we reach the end of our rope so that we can live differently, so we can live faithfully. And there's not a one of us here that is without sin. And there's not a one of us here that is beyond redemption. The question before us is, how will we use this life? Will we twist and coil around ourselves? You know, tying ourselves up in knots until we hit the end of the rope? When all we have is our sin, this noose just gets tighter and tighter. At the end of his rope, Judas found only death. Or will we bind ourselves to Jesus Christ? Will we lash ourselves to the cross itself, trusting that Jesus' death and resurrection, in that we can be forgiven of our sin, no matter how great or how small the hurt it has caused? And we don't know how long this mortal coil will go. And we don't abide by the myth of the fates, but we trust that at some point we will return to the dust from whence we came. Psalm 139 says to the Lord, "Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed." Before you reach the end of your rope, know to what and why you will tie it off. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.